Welcome to the Inside CCW Safe Podcast with founders Stan Campbell and Mike Darter. If you're forced to fight the battle for your life, CCW Safe will fight the battle for your future.
Welcome to the Inside CCW Safe Podcast. I'm Mike Darter in Oklahoma City.
I'm Stan Campbell in California right now.
And we got Gary.
Hey, guys.
Gary Eastridge, also in Oklahoma City.
That's right.
So we normally do a weather report. Do I even want to hear this, Stan? Is it nice out there?
Dude, it really is kind of nice today.
You suck.
It's like 68 degrees. It's kind of beautiful.
It's not bad here.
Yeah, you know how it is, though, but, you know.
Yeah.
So,
what's been going on with you two? Anything new on the CCW Safe front, you guys?
Well, we're just all over the place. You know, we've been, you know, dealing with our awesome new clients over there in New York. Gary and I have been helping the NYPD retired guys, you know, and joining and welcoming them to the family. So we're real happy about that. And we have Ladies Day is coming up, right, Gary? Ladies Day is coming up this next month, and that's in Orlando.
A little over 2 weeks.
That's right, in Orlando. So if you guys are in the Orlando area, make sure you stop by and see me and Gary, because we'll be there with the ladies who always sponsor that event. It's an awesome event there. So I think so about 500 women show up.
Wow.
You know, for safety and concealed carry classes, a little bit of everything, right, Gary?
Yeah.
Now, where is that at?
It's at the Central Florida Rifle Pistol Club in Orlando, just outside of Orlando, Florida. Good group. This is what, the fourth year, I think, we've been going down there?
Yeah. I mean, we're pretty much their main sponsors. And, you know, we understand the importance of supporting women in the industry. You know, female carriers, the numbers are going up, and, you know, we welcome them with open arms. So we make sure we get down there and support, you know, all of our affiliates down there.
That's cool. Then we also have the Police Week coming up as well.
Yeah.
In May.
Police Week. Yep.
What date is that?
What's the date, Gary?
May 12th through May 16th. I just worked out my calendar up there on the whiteboard, which is now full. The next about 6 weeks, we're going to be really busy.
That's right.
Nice. So if you're going to be out in Police Week, come by and see us. We're going to have some kind of cool stuff to give out there.
That's correct. And then also myself, you, and Gary, we're going to be in California supporting Unite Inland Empire 2019 Conservative Conference. So we'll be out there. There's about 1,000 in attendance out there. It's being sponsored by AM 590, The Answer. Those guys, you know, we really help them out. They help us out. You know, we partner a lot. You know, you got, you know, Phil with Fire and Line Radio Show. You know, mm-hmm. I've been on there several times, myself, Mike, our entire crew. I've had the opportunity to co-host. I have the opportunity to stand in as a host there on the radio show. And, I mean, they really take care of us. It's just, they're part of our family. So we're going out to support them with the United Inland Empire Conservative Conference 2019. So we'll be there also. That is April 28th. So if you guys are in that area, believe it or not, California is our number two state in reference to membership base. And so if you're there in that area, come through and see us there as well.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good time, man. I forgot about that. That's
right,
coming up pretty quick too.
Yeah, a lot going on. So
what are we talking about today?
Well, today we brought on Gary because we want to kind of talk about, you know, we've been getting a lot of calls from, you know, retired policemen, mostly not truly having a good grasp on HR 218. You know, the rules that apply, any changes that are being made there. And so I want to bring Gary on to kind of talk about HR 218 and kind of break it down for folks, you know, some myths, some problems, some things to watch out for. So it's really important. Like all three of us carry, you know, under that realm as well. And, you know, it's important to know, you know, the do's and don'ts. So I wanted to bring Gary on for that reason.
Cool. So Gary, so what do you have any specific questions we could like start out with that you've got, or do you just want to start going over what it is?
Well, I think the important thing for everybody, I think most officers have a general understanding of what's commonly referred to as H.R. 218. It's actually the Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act, signed into law in 2004 by President Bush. It's been amended a couple times over the last, 15 years that it's been in existence. But it's really a pretty simple law. The H.R. 218 was the House resolution that that was sponsored in that ultimately became LEOSA. There's a wealth of information on the internet. The NRA has a good page with information on LEOSA. The National FOP has a real good page on LEOSA information. And then Wikipedia has a great article, informational article about the law and about some of the controversies that are going on with it right now with various states trying to limit LEOSA.
So when you're talking about trying to limit LEOSA, did you break down exactly what LEOSA was for our civilian members?
Yeah, Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act is what the what LEOSA stands for. Okay. Most people, we use H.R. 218 and LEOSA interchangeably.
Right.
Like I say, H.R. 218 was actually just the House resolution that was first sponsored that ultimately became the Law Enforcement Officers Safety Act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then some of the problems that were, I mean, here's what I think, and I know you're saying it's easy, Gary, or pretty simple in the way that it breaks down, but you know what really concerns me more than anything, you know, because I've been retired since 2012. I don't know how long you've been gone, Gary and Mike.
2000.
And Mike, how long you been?
Well, 2011 is when I.
Okay. So when you get out there and I mean, you know, and I'm not trying to dog anybody, but they're hiring millennials now to be police officers. And, you know, it's just something about this new breed of officer that's just, you know, by the book, you know, by the line of the law, you know, they won't use any common sense. I mean, I'm talking about the young ones. I'm not talking about the older ones. You guys know what I'm talking about. And, you know, it scares me sometimes, you know, when you carry these different states and you understand that, you know, how you're covered, but that's not something that they really cover in the police academy. It doesn't come up until it comes up. So it does concern a lot of the retired guys as what happens when you run into that 22-year-old new officer that's never heard of LEOSA, you know?
Absolutely. You know, I didn't even, even though I've been retired before LEOSA became law, I only really became educated on, what is that funny, Stanley?
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Well, you know what? I mean, I'll just try to figure, I mean, was Moses in your
he was in my academy. In
Jesus.
I outshot him, by the way. I only really became interested in LEOSA because of Mike Darden. You know, I had a state carry permit that was issued when I retired. LEOSA was amended in 2010 to allow officers who had 10 years of aggregate service to fall under the Safety Act. Prior to that, it had been 15 years. Mike ran into a situation that's not uncommon, unfortunately, where a lot of agency heads don't really, they're not fully on board with LEOSA because they don't have a whole lot of input with it. And that's actually by design. That was brought up in the negotiations for the law several times. There was an amendment sponsored, I believe, by Ted Kennedy for his passing, obviously, to allow a department to opt out of LEOSA. And that was specifically stricken from the law. The law is really have your agency has little role in LEOSA. Once you've completed your service there, that's what makes you eligible under the LEOSA law.
Mm-hmm. And just to, I'll just kind of jump in. What Gary's talking about with me, so I served 10 years with Oklahoma City Police Department, at which time I left, moved to Dallas, and I worked 10 years with the ATF, working North Texas and Oklahoma, managing one of the violent crimes programs under contract. So I had 10 years of service with Oklahoma City, and I met the qualification standard as long as I qualified. But because Oklahoma City had a policy that they were only going to allow officers who had fully retired 20 years of service to go through their course. Mm-hmm. And to be considered for LEOSA through Oklahoma City, you had to go through their course that they put on every year. So I had submitted a letter to the chief's office to ask to be covered by the federal law, which states 10 years. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it changed in 2015 to 10 years of service with honorably separating a police department,
right?
Which I met that qualification, but they said no, because they're only doing it for 20 year officers. So I went ahead and at that point submitted a request from the police department, offices, a letter stating the years of my service and that I was honorably separated from the department, which they did. And they actually included in that letter, and I was still eligible to reapply. So once I got that letter is kind of where Gary came in, and Gary was like, wait a minute, what? You can carry under HR 218. I just can't go through Oklahoma City, but I still meet the statute, the federal statute or the federal requirements to carry that. So that's where maybe a lot of the confusion is for people. I mean, I've talked to people, Stan, I think you and I were in Vegas one time, and we met a officer, I think he's from Arkansas, and we kind of hang out with him and his wife. We're at the bar and kind of got to talking to him. And okay, this is good. This is not something that has to stay in Vegas. But he, I don't know if you remember, he's like, oh yeah, I carry under LEOSA, because he asked us what we're doing or what we do. And we were telling about CCW Safe, and he's like, oh, that's awesome. And he was 10-year, served 10 years for some department. I think he's in Arkansas. Super cool guy. And he's like, oh yeah, I got it, no problem. But then you have departments like mine who would not do that. And it's because of their own standards. And like Gary was saying, you know, a Dallas police officer who retired at Dallas, who's living in Oklahoma City now, mm-hmm. can go out to the range and qualify, no questions asked.
Yes.
But an Oklahoma City police officer, one of our own, mm-hmm. cannot go out to the range and qualify unless he's been through their little course that they have to put on every year.
Which they only handle, they only have twice a year.
And yes, right. I said little course.
You did say little course. You did say little course. That's usually makes me laugh. And so, yeah, you know.
For clarification, to be eligible for LEOSA, under LEOSA, there are three different ways. You can be an active officer.
Correct.
Or a separated officer. And as a separated officer, there's there's like three different categories. You can have full retirement. Mm-hmm. You can have 10 years aggregate service or a retirement for medical reasons other than mental. As long as you've left in good standing, you're eligible for LEOSA. Yes. You then have to qualify annually, and that's all that's really required.
Mm-hmm. Now, and are you familiar with, you know, the extended coverage for corrections officers and those in the military police as well?
Well, yeah. That was another amendment. There's been a couple amendments to the law. Mm-hmm. In 2015, there were certain MOSs in the military, primarily military police. Mm-hmm. That were considered to be LEOSA eligible. Mm-hmm. Corrections officers, if their job involved them carrying a firearm, they have been ruled to be law enforcement. Coast Guard. There's mm-hmm. actually been, of all of the cases where someone was carrying under LEOSA mm-hmm. and was charged with a crime, so far, the courts have ruled in the favor of the individual who was yeah. carrying. California tried to prosecute a Coast Guard officer, mm-hmm. I say a Coast Guardsman that had an unloaded firearm, and he claimed LEOSA privilege. He had his qualification records as required. And yeah. the courts ruled in his favor. It's actually gone to the Supreme Court on one occasion.
Wow. Now, officers don't understand that they still have to follow the state's rules, correct?
Yeah,
that's one of the things that can make
things confusing, because the intent of the sponsors of the bill was for law enforcement officers to be able to carry a gun anywhere in the U.S. Mm-hmm. without restriction. Mm-hmm. There is the Gun Zone School Safety Act, and I may have that butchered a little bit. Mm-hmm. You still, if you're a retired or a 10-year aggregate officer, you cannot carry under LEOSA on school ground, mm-hmm. Whereas an active officer can. But yeah. where the states have allowed business opt-outs and that sort of thing, the way the LEOSA is written, and hang on, I'll find the actual verbiage, but it allows, you have to carry within the state laws. Mm-hmm. But then it goes on to address that you're exempt from the state laws. Mm-hmm. This is also what New Jersey and last I heard Hawaii have used as justification to say that no, even a retired officer must have a state carry permit to carry in New Jersey. There's a current bill that was sponsored by, I believe it's Bacon out of Nebraska, which is the Reform Act of 2019, LEOSA Reform Act,
yeah,
2019, and that is to specifically address that the state laws are superseded by LEOSA. But as it is right now, you as an officer, you have to follow a state's magazine requirements. Mm-hmm. If you're in the retired or separated category, you have to follow. If they have a bullet restriction, you have to yeah. follow that. If you have a mag capacity limitation, you have to follow that. This Reform Act is supposed to address those issues.
Yeah, that'd be awesome because you're right. You know, I'm from New Jersey, so I go back there to see family often. Thank God I got a couple of family members that are policemen there, but, you know, they really run into a bunch of big problems there, you know, with the restrictions that they have on their active officers off duty and their retired officers, or if you're a visiting officer, and you can get arrested by them out there, just kind of depending on which agency, you know, approaches you. So, you know, it's pretty scary out there in certain states, you know, even as law enforcement.
I think a lot of times politics creeps in.
Yeah.
The intent of the law, it was a bipartisan, the law passed with bipartisan support. Unfortunately, because of events in our country, partisanship can kind of creep up and it Leosa starts to be considered a Second Amendment law. When in fact, it really, the Second Amendment was not a primary concern of Leosa. Mm-hmm. Leosa was for law enforcement officers to be able to protect themselves. I also believe it was passed as kind of a force multiplier. This allows a department, you know, they may not have an officer on every corner, but if they've got an officer on every corner and then there's a retiree or two thrown in, it multiplies your force.
That's okay.
But I think, you know, what happens is if you have a jurisdiction that may not be pro-gun, that's wants more gun control, they see this as an extension of that, and this is one way they want to limit Leosa.
Got you. Now, I'm just asking your opinion now, Gary. But what's your thoughts on, you know, if it's not too big of a deal to back up with a concealed carry in a specific state that you visit a lot? Like, you go to Virginia a lot. You and I go to Orlando. We all go to Vegas, you know, so Nevada and stuff like that. What's your thoughts on that?
I have an Oklahoma permit.
Uh-huh.
I don't see a downside to having the state permit. In reality, it should not be necessary with Leosa. If this bill passes, I'm not sure I will re-up my state permit, but I don't see a downside to having multiple permits.
Yeah. I wanted to get your opinion because I'm an advocate of getting the multiple permits as a backup. I mean, it doesn't take much to do so. And if you do run into that green officer, somebody's brand new and has no idea what Leosa is, they normally know what concealed carry permit is. So that way you do have some type of backup as well. You know, you have to think about how you engage, you know, because no matter what, when we retire, it's a culture. So when you retire, once a policeman, usually always a policeman, it's just in you, and you see something that goes wrong, you know, you feel like you need to just jump in. So, you know, you really have to be careful, you know, and remember that, hey, I'm retired now. You know, one of the things I might need to do before I just jump on into somebody's domestic or whatever the case may be, or try to make a citizen's arrest, because that's what's going to end up being. You might want to make sure you call 911 first too, as an officer, you know, because, we kind of move and think that we can handle something. And then at times we'll get in over our heads as well. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take much.
Yeah, absolutely. And when the cops do show up, they're not going to know you from anybody.
No, that's right.
I'm a firm believer as someone who carries under Leosa and under a state permit, that before I'm going to intervene in a situation, someone has to be being hurt physically.
That's right. Yeah.
If I'm not going to try to stop a theft, I'm not going to try to stop an argument. Mm-hmm. I may watch it, call 911, tell them, hey, this is getting ready to, this has the potential to become violent, but I'm not going to interject unless it becomes a matter of significant injury to somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I think of it the same way, you know, anymore because of politics and because of, you know, the gray areas, you know, you have got to absolutely think about, you know, taking care of yourselves out there. You know, take a extra moment, you know, if it's not a ISIS Al Qaeda situation, you're not talking about somebody, you know, gunning down people in the church, you know, of course you have to just react to that. But, you know, but if it is like something simple, arguments, the domestics, you know, it's not some serious violence going on, you know, somebody steals a bag of Skittles, you know, don't think that you have to be the hero on that. So, So yeah, so that's kind of where we are there. But anything else on that, Gary, on any LEOSA issues?
Well, not in specific. I think it's incumbent on any officer who is eligible for LEOSA to carry under LEOSA to research and know the law. Because, you know, you remember how it was when we were on the street stand. We had a thumbnail idea of a lot of laws. We not a real good understanding of maybe other than the handful that we routinely enforce. Correct. So as an officer, I think it's incumbent on you to learn LEOSA, plan ahead on how to respond to an officer who may not understand LEOSA. Research. When I started writing an article late last year on LEOSA, I was amazed at how much information is available on the internet. And really, even though it's not as simple as it seems, it's a pretty simple law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
one of the things I was going to say was one of the things we're creating for this, for our members that are going to be HR 218 is a membership card that will have information on that card for law enforcement should you have to display it. And it's going to be a card that states, the person carrying this card meets the requirements, you know, by LEOSA, and you'll have to carry it with Gary, kind of talk about just right quick the requirements, the things you have to have with that card.
Yeah, the law requires you to have two things. It requires you to have a photo ID from the agency that you are or were a police officer at, excuse me, and proof of qualification within the last 12 months. So what I carry is my retired card, and on the back of it, I put on my qualification card. And every year, as long as it's here in Oklahoma, it's CLEAT, as long as a CLEAT authorized instructor signs off and qualifies me, I update my card. That's the only two things that are required by the law for an officer to carry. Now, if I were in a situation like with you, I would probably take a snapshot of that letter showing my 10 years plus service. Mm-hmm. To confirm my eligibility under LEOSA.
Right. Yeah, so that's...
With smartphones, it's so easy to carry all that with you that you can produce that. And for that matter, you can show them the actual law for those that don't understand.
Right. So that's what I carry now is I have another card that I have... that I carry with my card that you signed on my qualification that's dated. And then I do have my police ID or a copy of my police ID, and I have a copy of that letter. So, and I'm actually looking forward to these cards because they look awesome. Justin's done them.
I'll say our new content guy is pretty good at that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's been killing it. So, so I'm excited about this new plan coming out. I think it's going to be, one thing with generally with law enforcement officers, retired and former officers, we all know the possibilities of what can happen. And it's going to be a good deal. The everything wrapped into it with the civil liability coverage and the extended bail and all that. So. Yeah, I'm excited to get it out.
It'll be Absolutely. A good product.
Cool.
So what are we at? I lost our time because of the other one.
Yeah, I think we just had about 5 more minutes coming up.
Okay. So we got Let's see. We had Larry on last week. Mm-hmm. I think next week, Stan, you and I may do one. Then hopefully we'll probably get Pat Mac on after that.
Yeah, Big Mac. We need to get Big Mac on.
And then I think we got some other ones that we're going to be talking to. Nothing confirmed yet, but yeah. I have some other guests that we're going to hopefully have on. So if you got any content that you guys want to hear or any questions, again, send them in to us. We'll be happy to go over those on the podcast. And I'm just going to pull up. Do you have any of the mail that we've gotten?
Let me see.
Let me do a search right quick and I saved some, and now we also are going to have some more of Don and Sean.
That's right.
They've recorded several that are going to be coming out in time. Jacob Paulson with concealcarry.com. We may do. I wouldn't mind getting him on, Gary. I think you've talked to him about that.
Yes, we got a couple deals working with them that it'd be good to have him on.
So yeah, if you don't know about their site, you should check it out. They got a great informational site. We met them out at SHOT, and they were awesome.
Yeah, they got a kick butt app too. You got to check out. For concealed carriers.
www.concealedcarry.com.
That's right.
And what's their app?
Well, it's there on their website. It's I forget the name of it, but it's a informational app that it's an interactive app that will show you based on where you are, gun-free zones, FFLs. It's populated with all kinds of information. Plus, you can enter your the permits. If you're one of the guys that has multiple state permits, you can enter that into the app, and it will show you everywhere you can legally carry.
So I've got I found one email that I'd like to while I got you guys on here. From Matt Bell, he sent in a copy of his umbrella plan document from mm-hmm. his, and he said, I listened to your podcast episode number 26. I checked my umbrella policy, which I hoped would cover us in a self-defense situation. It appears that it does, but I would appreciate if you would confirm this. And he attached a document of his plan mm-hmm. and you know, this is one thing that has kind of come up recently more and more. And it's one thing that really for us to confirm it, we're not the ones that need to confirm it. Your insurance company is the one that's going to have to confirm this. And here's what my take is on it for Mark and whoever else, or Matt and whoever else has this question, because it comes up a lot. You have to remember that your insurance company, first of all, have you guys, I know you three have dealt with insurance in the past, correct?
Uh-huh. Yes.
And when you're making a claim, they, whether it be a car or a roof or whatever, they send adjusters out and they send people to come out. And especially if it's a use of force situation, there will be attorneys involved for that insurance company. And here's my fear with anything that goes through an insurance company. I don't know about you guys, but my experience with insurance companies has not been, I mean, it's been okay, I guess. I mean, I've been covered on things, but it's always not what you think you're going to get back. There's always some, well, it was this, so that gets deducted or this, that.
And those attorneys are working with the interest of the insurance company,
right?
Not
right.
Of the insured.
Right. And this is one thing when we created our service, when we first started this back in 2012, we said, you know, we don't want to be grouped or seen as an insurance company, because most states, if not all states, it's illegal to cover an intentional act or an illegal act with an insurance policy or coverage. So any attorney working on the behalf of an insurance company, I think could easily argue, even if the homeowner guy says, oh yeah, we're going to cover you. Well, he's not the one that's going to be going to bat for you when that time comes. If you have to try to make a claim, the person who is going to be going to bat is going to be going to bat for the insurance company trying to deny that claim.
Mike, I've had several members ask that exact question, and I've told each of them to call their broker and get them to put it in writing. Of the ones that responded, 100% have told me that their agent said they would not cover a self-defense situation.
Yeah. So I saw that come in, and I just wanted to address that because I know we have that topic discussed a lot with you guys, especially with David, but you guys who are answering the calls and all that. So
I think it gets down to that issue, just like in New York and Washington State,
yeah.
Insuring for intentional acts.
Yeah. Yeah. So Matt, I would definitely say to check, like Gary said, like Gary tells everybody, get it in writing, call your insurance agent, get it in writing. I don't think they're going to put that in writing. So, I didn't see any others. I thought I had some others that I had set aside on the in reference to the podcast, but I can't find them now. So, all right, guys. Well, Gary, thanks for your time, man.
Enjoyed it.
Stan,
thanks, Gary.
Good to see you again virtually.
Yep, I'll see you soon.
All right, man. Y'all take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Thank you.